Perfect. Perfect. Thank you. Well, hey, let's start off with a word of prayer. They're going to have some fun, but now we're going to change directions if that's possible. Okay? Really appreciate that, guys. Setting me up perfect for this lesson. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege that we have to have fun in your name. Thank you, God, that we can not take ourselves so seriously. But right now, we want to take you seriously. We want to take our relationship with you seriously. And we pray, God, that tonight that you will be with us, be with our families. Help us, God, to go into the holidays determined to be strong, determined to be a light, determined to make a difference, and determined to be full of your Spirit. Father, we thank you so much for this past year and the incredible, incredible way that you've worked. Every family, every child, every friend that was saved, strengthened, restored. God, we praise you for what you've done in the Lighthouse Church. God, we know that you have so much more in store for us. We pray for our future. We pray for our vision. We pray for our faith that you'll strengthen us, God. We pray for those that couldn't be with us here tonight, that you'll be with them and help them and help us to be a little yeast in their life and encourage them and bless their faith. Thank you so much for everybody who's a part of the region. And we love you. Thank you. Bless the LA Church. We do want to lift up the churches in the Middle East, Father, that you'll please bless them and strengthen them during this very difficult time, uncertain time, that you'll bless them. Pray for our brothers and sisters in the Middle in the Philippines as well, that you'll continue to help the relief to come to those affected by the hurricane. We love you. Thank you. Bless the needy during this time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, kind of to wrap up our year, although it's not over yet, I wanted to just share with you some thoughts to get us ready for the holidays. And this is called The Sanctuary. This is a photograph taken from right here in the foothills of the San Gabriel Valley. Right up here, or right up there. And I don't know about you, but do you have a sanctuary? Do you have a place that you call yours and you and God go in there and you spend some great time together and you connect? If not, I want to encourage you during the holidays to find your sanctuary. Maybe it's not here. Maybe it's somewhere else. Maybe it's a park. Maybe it's just a little place under a tree where you and God can talk. And so tonight I wanted to share with you a psalm. And this is a special psalm because it really describes a confession. And all of us, in one shape or another, time or another in our lives, we are in this place that we're going to talk about tonight, in this psalm. And it's timeless, because every one of us, in one shape or another, we go through this. So turn with me, if you have your Bible, to Psalm chapter 73. And this is a psalm of Asaph, and it's a song of confession. And here it is in beginning of verse 1, it says, Psalm 73, surely God is good to Israel. And we could say amen to this, right? Surely God has been good to us. And if you go back and look at what God has done this past year and what he started off doing in January of last year, I can go back and remember we started off talking about vision. And so many people's lives were changed by, they said, you know what, I'm living a visionless life and now I need to have vision. Please don't forget that. God has a vision for you, and he wants to give you that vision. And if you came in later in the year, I'd encourage you to go back. That's the nice thing about our website. You can go back and listen to a whole series on a podcast and take it with you on your smartphone. You know, and listen and get caught up and reboot, you know, what we did. And, you know, just to think of, later on in the beginning of the year, we had this thing. We called it, Unleash Your Success. You remember that? First time ever, we exchanged the Women's Day, we exchanged it for a professional breakfast, and it was historic. We had three people come out to share and talk about, you know, their profession and how God has lifted their profession and given them incredible success. And people were impacted, people were baptized because of that. And the year went on, and the spring came, And we came into the summer, and God did incredible things with our special missions contribution. We exceeded what we expected in a time of the Great Recession still. Amen. And God blessed us. Yes. We did a fundraiser, and more people were brought to Christ, and there were the camps, and there were different things happening. There was the ICMC, you know, in San Diego, and so many great things that happened this year. God has blessed us. And I just want, if you're here tonight and you were either baptized, restored this year, we had a few people up here that done their studies, and I want to encourage you, please go through. This is a brand new thing that we're going to be rewarding, and we're going to be lifting up people who do their follow-up studies after they're baptized. But if you were baptized or restored this year, I want you to go ahead and stand up if you would. We want to recognize you. You were baptized and restored in 2013. Awesome. And most of them are sitting up front, which I appreciate that. Go ahead and have a seat. Without a doubt, 2013 was the best year of their lives and will forever be the year to remember in their lives. But this psalm is true right here in the beginning. He said, surely has God been good to God, to those who are pure in heart. Now, here's where we go with this, pure in heart. How many of us can say that? Really? You know, there's times I can't say that. And particularly during this time of the year, I can say this is a challenge to be pure in heart during this time of the year. You know why? Because our hearts should be set on Him, following Jesus, but our hearts get set on other things. And we get set on focusing on other things. And we want to make sure that when we go into December and when we start January, that we want to see surely God is good to us in Israel and to the Lighthouse, but we also want to make sure that when we go into next year, we're ready and we're ready for a blessing. And our hearts are set on Him. Our hearts are set on Jesus. But I want us to have an honest talk. That's what this psalm is. It's a confession. And look at what he says here in verse 2 and 3. He says here, but as for me, and I could say as for me, all of us, my feet almost slipped. And I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. What happened to the psalmist? See, his eyes got off of what God had in store for him and for us, what Jesus has in store for us, and he started to look around. When I lost my foothold, when I saw, our eyes get drawn to other things, particularly now. What are you looking at right now? What are your eyes drawn to right now? You know, as you walk through the mall, as you're watching TV and you're starting to think, what am I going to get? What am I going to do? What's my heart set on? And if you're not careful, if it's not set on someone, it can go different direction. And there's such incredible buildup for this time of the year because people have such high expectations of it's going to be this, it's going to be that. And what happens? Inevitably, what happens? There's a lull afterwards, right? Because it's not the same Christmas season that it was maybe when you were a child. It's not the best time of the year. And so this is what happened to the psalmist. And he goes on in verse 4, he says, when I envy the wicked, he says, they have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong, and they're free from the common human burdens. They're not plagued by human ills. So who's he talking about? He's talking about people out there in the world. You know, if you're a guest here, there is a difference between when you follow Jesus and when you follow God and people out there. And sometimes if you're not careful, you can look out there and say, they got it better than I do because I don't have it as good as them. See, I've got this expectation that God has of me and what the scriptures have of me. And, you know, I got to be good. I got to do the right thing. I just can't be careless and footloose and fancy free. And we think that we're losing out. We don't get to have fun like everybody else. And we start to look at it and say, they don't really have struggles out there. Now, truth is this really true? When you look at your neighbor and you say, oh man, look at his car and look at his life and look at his wife and look at his children and look at his situation. He's got it all together. He has no struggles. He's no human burdens. You know, I feel like my life is a burden. Things are tough. And we can start struggling with. And it goes on, he says in verse 7, 6 and 7, he says, therefore, pride is their necklace. They're feeling so good about themselves, and they clothe themselves with violence, and their calloused hearts comes iniquity, and their evil imaginations have no limits. What's he saying? They could basically do whatever they want. They don't have to worry about anything. Boy, wouldn't that be nice? Not to have to worry about anything. Just your conscience, you know, you leave it at home. You leave your conscience in your closet, and you just don't have to care. It doesn't matter. As long as you don't hurt anybody, right? This is what he was feeling. He was struggling. The psalmist, can you relate to any of this? I know I can. There's times where I feel like, you know, for following God, I'm missing out. I can't do everything that they get to do. But there's a reason for it, and we read on. In verse 11 and 12, we jump ahead. It says, they say, how would God know? Does the Most High know anything? This is what the wicked are like, always free of care. They go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and I have washed my hands in innocence. Here's what he's saying. Is this walk that I've chosen really worth it? Really? I mean, look at people out there. They walk around like God doesn't know what they're doing, right? There's no consequence to what they're doing. I can do whatever I want. God's not watching. God's not paying attention. Does he really know? Maybe he's sleeping. This is what people think. And this is what the wicked are like. They seem carefree. And this is what the psalmist was feeling. Have you ever felt that? He's struggling with envy. He's struggling with, I wish my life were different. I wish I had a different life. And I appreciate this because this is honest. This is the Bible. This isn't something where, you know, the Bible's going to tell you, oh, this is how it is. No, this is real. And if you're not careful over the holidays, this could be you. In that party and in that gathering and in that situation, some of you college students are going to be going away home, you know, and you're going to be detached from your ministry and the fellowship, and some of you are going to be traveling, some of you are going to be a little bit disconnected. Not going to be your small group for a few weeks. Some of the teens, you're out of school for a month probably, right? You wish. And then you could say this, surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. Man, is this all in vain? Is this all going to be worth it? This wrestling to do what's right? This not going with the crowd? Not being accepted? Is it really worth it? And he's saying here, my feet almost slipped. It's that close to slipping. And I want to ask you tonight, are you slipping? Are you slipping spiritually? Are you slipping in your closeness with God and your devotion to God and your moral standard? How are you doing really? Are you slipping? And if you don't go in asking these questions in the beginning of the holidays and being aware and not, you know, allowing yourself to get taken down a road, you will slip. But it's best to do an evaluation now. Personal inventory. How am I doing? Another question is your heart divided? You know, people in the world, their priorities are their career and possessions. It really comes down to that, the house and how it looks and how everything, and it's not about relationships, it's not about a relationship with God, it's not about how am I doing with the people in my family, it's not about spending quality time with my wife and my children, it's more about activities and events. Is your heart divided? Is there a split focus? Where are your desires at? What are you after? What do you really want? Have you got a hidden agenda? And I want you guys to know this. Sometimes in our church, people do poorly, and then it comes out, and we're all surprised. You know, we're all surprised. Wow, he's not doing well. She's not doing well. Do you know that where all that started? Way before. Way before. It's just become knowledge to you, but it started before because their heart was divided, and they also had desires for other things. See, God wasn't enough anymore. Relationships in here and doing what's right wasn't enough anymore. Started to wander and look around for other things. Are you envious of others? That's what he's talking about. I wish I had. I wish my situation were better. I wish I was in a better situation. Are you envious of somebody else or something else? Your car, your lifestyle, having time in your schedule and being able to do what you want when you want. Are you envious? And here's the one big question that people ask, is the church slipping? Is the church slipping? Let me talk about this because this is important. See, a lot of times when people say, is the church slipping because they're slipping? Yesterday, I had the opportunity to celebrate 24 years of marriage with my wife. You know, and we went out to dinner, and we sat across the table, and we were talking about in these last 24 years what God has done through us and our family. And remember back when it all started, we got married. And I can honestly say that our marriage 24 years later is pretty good. It's not perfect, but it's pretty good. In fact, the waiter who came to the table, his name was Daryl, and he came up to me and says, so you guys are celebrating how many years? 24 years, really? He was surprised. Really, 24 years? I said, yep. And I said, you know what? 24 years and climbing. Because we're just getting started. And I believe there's many, many, many more, God willing, many more years in front of us. But let me paint a what-if scenario with you guys. What if our marriage wasn't doing well? What if our marriage was struggling? It goes back to this question, is the church slipping? Because my marriage is not doing well. And this is where people go. See, my life isn't going well. My marriage isn't going well. My kid's not doing well. My small group's not doing well. Is the church slipping? Or am I slipping? See, if my marriage is not going, guess who's slipping? We're slipping. And tonight, over the holidays, you've got to decide you're going to take personal responsibility for how you're doing and not be the victim, but be the one who's personally responsible for doing well. Come on, bro. Preach it. And to think about this, you're going to be going to the bait shop during the holidays. All of us during the holidays get bombarded. Have you noticed how they put some really great stuff out there that you want? That it just calls your heart out. You need this, Amber. You really need this. You know? You, Juan, bro, your life will not be the same without this. Larry, this is going to make your family much better if you buy this. If you have this. It's the bait shop. And, you know, as Fernando will tell you, you got live bait, right? You got the lure bait, okay? It's perfect. Sometimes they got these little electric things inside that make it buzz so that it sends a vibration through the water and the fish just can't resist. And then they have on some baits, they have this spray oil, and you spray the oil and it makes the aroma, like there is aroma under the water, it makes the aroma under the water irresistible for the fish. It's the perfect bait. I want to talk with you guys about what's the bait that's set out there for you. For singles and for the college students, for the teens, what's the bait that's out there for you this holiday season? Or even next year? The thing that's going to captivate your heart and draw it away from God. And see, we don't see these. See, we don't see these. We see this. But we don't see these. And you don't see these until it's too late. And you're hooked. And they're built perfectly because, see, these hooks have these little angles so that once it's in, it won't come out. I got to tell you guys a funny story. When I was a kid, we used to fish in a lake. And we would go there every day, and we would fish for catfish and pinfish and bass. Bass is what you wanted. But we were pretty crazy with the hooks, and we would, you know, take the hook and just go, and every once in a while you'd take it way back, and you'd hook a tree, right? And you hook the tree. Here's a crazy story I got to tell you. I was standing behind one of my friends, and literally, he hooked my lip. Seriously. I had a fish hook in my lip. And the worst thing of it is he hooked my lip and he pulled on it. And I let out a yell. I literally had to go to the doctor and they had to surgically remove the hook. Couldn't just pull it out because it had these on it. Let me just say this before the holidays come. There are some things that you will do this holiday which you will get hooked and it's going to do a lot of harm to your life and your heart. Be very careful where and with who and what you do this holiday season. Amen. Why? Because it's going to affect you. And I can tell you, a lot of people had laughs when they took a picture, you know, with me with a hook in my mouth and all that, and it was funny and everything. But let me just tell you, from my vantage point, it was not funny at all. Literally had to cauterize, had to burn my skin so that it would close. And just to be a fish, it's no fun. But to be a spiritual fish and get hooked is no fun. I just want to say this holiday season, be careful with what you get hooked with. And are you talking about things in your life with people that are going on? And I'm talking with brothers and sisters, because some of us, we're going to get so isolated and dependent, things are going to go on, and in the temptation phase, you're not going to get open. Are you talking about things in your life with someone who will really genuinely help you? It's called discipling. I know it's a lost art for some of us. Are you in an accountability relationship with someone? Meaning you're putting your life in their life in your hands, saying, "Hey, I'm going to be accountable to you for what's going on in my life." Husbands and wives, are you being accountable to each other? You know, early in yesterday in the morning, Laura and I had to have a talk, and we had to be accountable on our anniversary. It's uncomfortable initially, but afterwards it was awesome because she was right. But I can honestly tell you, I'm accountable to my wife. Amen. It's not this thing where, like, you know, she does what I says and I have the last word and it's final. No, that's not how it works. I'm accountable to her. If I'm not leading right, I'm not doing right, I got to own it. Are you in that situation? Singles, are you guys Are you in that kind of relationship with somebody? In the family life ministry, are you doing that? Teens, are you guys doing that with each other? Why? So you don't get hooked. See, because these last few months, it's been a tragedy. There's been some people that have had irreparable damage done to their lives and their hearts. Yes, God will forgive. God will forgive all sins. But the consequences, they hang around a long time. Let me ask you some specific questions. How's it going to go with alcohol over the holidays? Some of you are extremely loose with alcohol over the holidays. You have no conviction. You're like, well, Jesus had wine at the party. In fact, he brought the best wine to the party. I mean, Jesus was down. Listen, you take that scripture and you use it as a justification for you getting drunk. And how do you define drunk? Well, the state of California says you're under the influence of alcohol at 0.08. That's about 2 to 3 drinks. You want to play with that? Some of you are clueless of how this is bringing down your life. Now, if you're accountable to your wife or you're accountable to a friend, they can help you with this. They can say, hey, bro, I think you've got a little bit of a problem because the other night you were drinking a little bit much. Okay, are we dealing with this stuff? And some of you absolutely don't need to be drinking at all because of your past. Yeah. Brothers, we could talk about it in mixed company. Pornography. Are you getting open about that? What you're putting in front of your eyes when no one's looking. How's it going? Are you going to do well in the holidays? Are you getting open about that? I don't know, make him feel very uncomfortable. Hey, listen, I'd rather make you feel uncomfortable here now than the ramifications of how it's going to come out in your marriage and how it's going to come out in your life because you've got a real problem with it because it didn't stop there, it continued. How about serious doubts that you've got going on with your faith? Are you getting open with your doubts before it gets catastrophic? Doubts about who you're going to date. Relationships that are interests that you have. What are you doing with that? Are you talking about it? Are you engaging with it? See, this is what the psalmist was talking about. This is the real deal where he was saying, I almost slipped and I almost fell into these things. These almost became a pattern of my life. I almost lost my relationship with God. And some of us know what it's like to lose your relationship with God and have to get restored. How about other priorities in your life that you're basically getting choked out because you don't have time because your nesting and your homemaking is more important than your spiritual nesting and homemaking? And your career, you've got no time for God because you're putting in all these hours. Or something like loneliness. Are you getting open about your loneliness? Are you talking to somebody about it versus hiding it and then coming up with plans of how you're going to deal with it? See, it's much better to talk about it with a close brother or sister and say, listen, I'm feeling lonely. And then dealing with it. Pain that you've got in your life. So this is what the psalmist is talking about. And then he says this in verse 11, a whole different transition. He says, when I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. When he started dealing with reality, it troubled him deeply. And he said this, until I did what? Until I entered the sanctuary of God. And then I understood the final destiny. What's he talking about? What right life is really about. What this whole thing that we're doing is really about. It's an eternal journey. And see, people out there in the world, they have no clue. You know, I was doing a little searching, and I didn't want to put it on the screen, but we get sometimes enamored by the things in Hollywood. We live here in Los Angeles, and we see people that are stars and all the entertainers, and we get enamored by their life, and they think they have it so good. Like the Fast and the Furious. Paul Walker. Man, that life looks so fast, so cool, so down. And do you realize that in an instant, it can be taken away from you? In an instant, over one mistake, one slip. And then your priorities are exposed. Then your values are exposed. See, he thought about this. He said, I entered the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their final destiny. Where do people in the world end up? It's not good. When God's not a priority in your life, it's not good. And he goes on. And let me define for you what a sanctuary is. A sanctuary is a refuge. It's a place of refuge. And that's what he's talking about. When I went to the place where I found refuge, it was a quiet space. It was a quiet place where there weren't distractions, there weren't other things going on. A place of refuge or safety. Do you have a safe place where you and God can be alone together? In fact, let me ask you a question. When's the last time that you spent real quality, quantity time, you and God, alone? Like a couple hours, like a half a day. And you know, it says here, people automatically sought a sanctuary in time of trouble. Where do you go? What do you go to when you're in times of trouble? Who do you go to when you're in times of trouble? I can tell you where I go when I'm in times of trouble. I go to Mount Baldy. You know why? There's no cell phone service up there. People can call. I'm not available. It goes right to voicemail. I can't check what's happening. There's no texting. There's no nothing. You get no signal. You get nothing. And it says here, a refuge or a sanctuary is synonymous with a refuge, a haven, a harbor, a port in a storm, an oasis, a shelter, a retreat, a hideaway, a hideout, and more. Where's your hideaway? Where do you go to find strength? During the holidays, where are you going to go? Because some of you use other coping skills besides the sanctuary. It's not going to take you to another place. This is a picture of the foothills that we have right there. Do you know how many isolated, cool spots we have right here that you and I can go to and be away from it all? Yeah, we live in Los Angeles and the highways and there's people everywhere, but you can go right here, you can go and be alone. Now, careful who you might run into up there. Could be a furry friend, a not-so-furry friend, but, you know, there's safe places to go. You know, in this time of the year, too, guess what happens? The brooks are full of water. It's gonna rain on Thursday. You go to these places and you just get to sit. I love to just go. There's a place up in Baldy right by the creek, and I just sit, and I listen to the water, and I listen to the birds, and I talk to God, and I marvel at how awesome he is and what he's made. The sky is so dark blue up there. I mean, it's incredible. The air is fresh and clear and clean, and I can breathe. And I can reconnect with God, and I can make decisions about what needs to change in my life and what's really important. I can do a soul detox of the things that are weighing me down. That's my sanctuary. I want to encourage you, have and spend time in your sanctuary during the holidays. And don't tell me you're too busy, because you have time. Every one of us have 7 days in a week, and we have 24 hours in a day. You can make time to go and be away with God. Do it. And for some of you, you need more than just a little time. You need a lot, and you need a lot of time. You know what I appreciate about Joe Newfield? He tells me about his sanctuary. He goes to this spot right up on, you know, Azusa, and he goes up the hill, and he watches the sunrise in the morning. And he tells me about it. This morning sunrise was awesome. And I saw the glory of God coming up out of the horizon. And I saw the sun shining, beaming down on the valley. And I put all my cares and concerns out there for God. Before he goes into work, settled. Do you have a spot like that? Do you have a sanctuary? And then he closes out in this. He says, those who are far from you will perish. You will destroy all the unfaithful, all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. Do you have that conviction? As for me, it's good to be near to God. See, because if you're not near to God, who and what are you near? Really? I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. You know, we sing a song, and it says, Lord, prepare me. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, to be holy and set aside. Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary. Is that going to be your song? What you live during the holidays? Sovereign Lord, you're my refuge. And here's what he says, I will tell of all your deeds. I want to encourage you to do this during the holidays. As you recount to people around you how much God's blessed you this year. The things that he's done. Recount the ways that he has helped you, that he rescued you, that he brought you through the trouble. He's given you great. Yes, yes, we all have things we need to work on. Yes, there's all things that aren't quite there yet, but I'm sure that God has done some amazing things in your family. Has he not, Jerry Reyes and Colleen Reyes? See, their son was just baptized. Boy, they got a lot to talk about with their neighbors. They've got their young son in a refuge. That mystery right there is a refuge from the world. Friends, there's got to be something, right, that he's done in your life. I want to encourage you to talk to people about it. And let's wrap it up here, and then you can go buy some refreshments from the teens. Let me leave you with this. I want to encourage you to be the owner of your own schedule. Not let your schedule be your owner. You be your schedule's owner. Meaning you determine. You say no to certain things that you know are going to choke out your schedule. You can only do so much. The expectations can never be met. You cannot be with every family member for that long. There have to be certain boundaries. There have to be certain priorities. Family devotionals have to be a priority in your family. You've got to spend time. With the married couples, you've got to, well, I'm up late and he goes to bed early and she goes to bed early and I'm up late. Hey, listen, one of you've got to decide we're going to pray together before the other one goes to sleep. You be the owner of your own schedule. You know that if couples that pray together have a less than 1% chance of getting separated and divorced? Just by praying together every day. Be the owner of your own schedule. Number two is decide who will be your accountability partner. Talk about it now. Send the text message tonight or tomorrow. Hey, during the holidays, will you be my accountability partner? Will you be my brother's keeper? Will you be the one that I call and talk to during the holidays so that you and I stay good, stay strong with God? And then we can talk. Will you do that? And then number three, to share your faith with people during the holidays. That's a great way to recount what the Lord has done by telling other people how awesome this year. Have a list. Have a little card that you carry around with you that tells you, that reminds you what God has done in your life this year. And remind yourself. And then tell people about it. That's what he's saying. And so in conclusion, I hope that you will have your sanctuary and that you will spend time in your sanctuary and that you will be accountable to each other and that you will help each other and that you will not say the church is slipping, but rather I'm slipping and I'm going to get back and I'm going to get strong. And if I know of somebody who's not here tonight who's slipping, I'm going to do my best to help them get on a solid foundation. And yes, we may have an uncomfortable talk, but I'd rather show love than do nothing. Because I care. So, as we pray together to close out, I want to encourage you to find and be in your sanctuary. And as the song says, Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary. I want him in here, and I want him to be in me, through me. And if you're a guest here tonight and you're visiting here tonight, I want to encourage you to study the Bible with the person who you came here with tonight. You know that you realize that some people spend the holidays and they decide, I'm going to get baptized over the holidays. My Christmas gift to Jesus, my Christmas gift to God is going to be that I get baptized before the year is out, because I know I need to be. Do that so that you can be a sanctuary where God lives and he finds refuge in you, and you can be a light. Amen? Let's pray together. May God bless you and your family and all your relatives, all your friends, all your neighbors during this holiday season. And may it be a credible, victorious time that when you come back in January, you're ready to go. And you're ready to see God do some incredible things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the privilege that we have to be a part of this incredible dream that Jesus had when he started out, that we could be his church and that we could be a part of something greater than us. God, we beg you tonight that you'll help us, Father, if there's anything that's going on in our lives, God, if things that have stirred us and what we've talked about, we need to get open about now before it's too late, that we'll do that, that we'll make an appointment this week and we'll say, you know what, I need to get with somebody and I need to get some help from my brothers, from my sisters, so I can get strong again. Father, we pray that you'll watch over us and bless us during the holidays. Keep us safe, God, when we travel and we drive to certain places and we go certain places. Watch over us. Keep us safe, because we want to be here next year. We want to give you glory. We want to declare your great name in the sanctuary. We want to declare it to our neighbors, to our friends. We want you to use us in 2014 to do incredible things. We want to see a faith explosion in 2014. God, thank you for what you've done in 2013 and the lives that were changed. Please, God, help us to continue to lift you up and lift up our brothers and sisters and lift up the name of Jesus. We love you. Thank you for tonight. And may God bless us, all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. You are all dismissed. Have a great holiday season. We'll see you this weekend.